Again, we've been taking some time. It seems like we've been quite some time kind of dealing with this whole subject on this revelation that was given to the Apostle Paul concerning the two covenants. The old covenant under Hagar and the new covenant under Sarah. One is connected to bondage. Hagar is connected to bondage as a product of the flesh. The other is connected to freedom. It's a product of promise. It's what God promised. We got to trust Him. One is linked to Mount Sinai. The other is linked to Holy Spirit. It's the Pentecost, the Ruach HaKodesh. It's written in tablets, and then it's written in the fleshly tables of our heart by Holy Spirit. So doing that and understanding that, we've been sort of a long time now off just reading Galatians in the fourth chapter, but we're having to deal with that, and it's a lot to deal with. Now, I promise you, once we look at this, not fully, but as best we could at this particular time in the time that we have, you're going to understand more that we've already covered and what we'll cover the remaining parts of Galatians. Last week, I guess I got on pretty controversial statements concerning stoning. And folks will take that however they want. I think I was clear on my explanation that we don't stone, but we still have the spirit of Torah. We can't go, what are you going to do, go around that? So he said you have to put them away. Under the old covenant, they put them away literally. They stoned them. Under the spirit of the covenant, that's what we dealt with last week, the spirit of the law versus the letter of the law. The letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Now watch, he said in Corinthians, I hear there's things going on when it comes to sexual immorality that are not even mentioned among the Gentiles, that a man will have his father's mother. All right? Let me remember I read that. Now he said, instead of you doing what you should do, you're boasting in it. He said, what you should do is turn him over to Satan. That way he gets it. Because what we talked about was instead of stoning, the spirit of the law talks about excommunicating. Stoning's bad enough to talk about. Excommunication, that just puts you deeper in the cult. You see how much stuff this is? Not just getting up here and, well, this is a nice little spot to talk about. And we talk about it and go home. This has involved so much stuff and so many people. It involves your life. It involves my life and my family's life and your family's life. It involves your extended family and people that you've known for years. It involves everyone. We have to be ready. We have to be up to, do we want to clearly understand what the scripture's saying? Are we willing to go in there? Or do we observe the Passover? Do we flip the page and move on? Because it's easier. It's easier. I have so much stuff I could talk about. We could just bypass this section and just go on. You would have never known. But I would have known. And I have to wrestle with that and say, God, you know, it just is so much to this. And even today, as I revisited everything, I revisited the entire message from Saturday and Sunday again today. I revisited a couple times. And there's so much that I didn't even say. To understand how valuable this is. How are you going to help someone unless they know that they have been turned over or found out. Think about that. To say nothing at all, but have this idea of inclusion. Everything's going to be okay. We want everybody included. That's fine, and that's great. But if you blatantly are doing what they were doing in Corinthians, at the church of Corinth, Paul said, put them away. Now, he's quoting from the Torah. And that section he's quoting is dealing with stoning. Now, did they stone this person in Corinth? No, because the law didn't allow that. The law that they were under, the Roman law didn't allow that. I gave you those texts in dealing with Pilate and so forth. But they still followed the spirit of Torah. Do you understand that? We have an obligation to still follow the spirit of Torah. The letter does what? It kills. But the spirit, it gives a chance. He said, turn them over to Satan that way in the end. Just maybe somehow if they see their error, because you won't participate in that error, it'll put fear in the rest of the people not to do that. They'll say, you know what? We shouldn't do that. Because this is the consequence. It's a tough spot. And I tell you, when you start to follow the scripture, it is tough. You start finding out that, you know what? Have we been having church just in a general sense? Let me back this up, because it's not just studying the scripture that does this, produces this. What really produces it is when you try to peek behind the veil, which veil is still upon their faces today in the reading of what? Torah. Still today. Yet God says, when you look into my glory, you're going to be instantly changed. Your life's never going to be the same. You got to decide if that's what you're looking for. You know, a lot of people are looking for, I'm tired. I'm tired of being addicted. I'm tired of being on drugs. I'm tired of being in my relationships scattered. I'm tired of being broke. I'm just tired of everything. And you come to God because you're tired of it. Thank God the church is set up and people feel some help and they feel some inclusion and they feel good about themselves. But that you haven't reached the spot where, because it's about when you're tired of something, you can be tired. You don't do what you're tired of, but what are you doing where God purposed for your life and your design? Where's that come from? That comes from looking in. Are you living to the potential that God has created you for? Are you living to that potential where the word of God can flow out of you, that God designed you to be that conduit, that mouthpiece that can speak into a certain group of people's life? Is that, are you living to that potential? Or you just rescued? You feel rescued. I feel safe. But you never come in to flower. You never come in to bloom and blossom and be the person that God wants you to be. To step into that potential. You don't see it when you're in it. You just don't see it because it's covered up with all the stuff, the chaos. And all you see is your trouble, and you're tired of seeing it, so you want out of it. But let me tell you something about the prodigal. He got tired of being in the shape he was in, but when he got back, he had to start acting like a son, because that's what he was. Not just glad he was back home. And I ain't eating with the pigs no more. That's a lot to shout about. You can go on for years shouting about that. But until you start acting like a son, you have no inheritance. You're heir to what? It's not there. You don't even see that. You don't see that in your future. It's incredible. The words that you'll speak and the vision that you can share is incredible. And we could do that on small scales, individual scales, one-on-one. You could do that. You could start doing that now. So this series, it's a big deal. It's a real big deal. This is not just for us to say, man, we was in a long series. This is a big deal. It's more than it just being long. It's about the information that we receive, and can we put that information into action? Or just are we hearing it? We're hearing it, it sounds good, it gets me through the day and tomorrow, but after a while we have a sense of being forgetful. This is life-changing stuff. You'll never read the Word of God the same ever again. And God wants to give us revelation. He wants to revolutionize our understanding so we can embrace everything that He's required of us, and we see it all come together. So we're dealing with the spirit of the law versus the spirit of the letter of the law. The spirit of the law versus the letter of the law. And this is it's a controversy. And the church came along and said, you know what? Paul said, and we read that, we started out reading that in Romans 7. But Paul said, you know, that it's over with, it's done away. And people take that, they'll take that one section, and most people use that and say it's done away with. We're finished with that. But then he takes Corinthians and he just elaborates on it, and he goes a little deeper in it. And so I can't redo all of it, but I'll do some, and then we'll go from there. We'll try to find a. Let me just do some review, just a little bit, and then we'll go from there. Okay. Let's see if we could, let me find us a spot here. Romans 7:14. Go to 9:10. Slide 9:10. Slide 9:10. In 9:10 he says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold unto sin. The law is what? Spiritual. What did he say? When he was talking about the law written on the tablets of stone, what did he call it? He called it the ministration of death. The very thing that people fight for. Christians today reject the Torah. Most Christians reject Torah, but fight tenaciously for the Ten Commandments in the courthouses and so forth, and in federal buildings. Tenaciously. Picket. Yell. Scream. I can't believe it. And it's called the ministration of death in the scripture. That's what's written on tablets of stone. But what's in our heart is the ministration of righteousness. How incredible that is. It's also called the ministration of condemnation. In chapter 8 of Romans, it says, there is therefore now, because something happened. You don't get a now unless something happened before now. Let me understand that. When you say now, you're not saying that. That's not your first word. Is that your first word? It's not your first word. Now, meaning something happened. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Because we don't walk after the flesh. We're not walking after the letter of the law. We're walking after the spirit of the law. Something changed. Now we actually know. Before we had animals that would be sacrificed that would help us once a year. But now we have the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Remember that? And so all these things are important for us to know. So this was just some of the things I thought about today as a little bit review. I can't do it all, so I'm going to go to a spot where I left off, and then we'll. I was reading in Deuteronomy, and I was talking about if thy brother or thy son or thy mother or thy son or thy daughter or the wife of thy bosom or thy friend. How many remember that? If they tell you in any way, which is in thy own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other mighty ones, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy father, namely, of the mighty ones of the people. What does he tell them? He said, don't do it. Don't do it. And let me tell you, it's going to be tough. Because how many remember after about the first week, when we first started going into the scripture, after the first week, the first couple of days, not the first week, but the week of a week's time of services, say a month, the first month, the first couple of weeks of the month, everybody was going, oh boy, scratching your head. But then you seen the excitement of the Torah. You seen the excitement. Then you went out and you told other people. And they went, oh boy. And they was concerned, genuine concern. I'm concerned that you're leaving the righteousness of Christ for the letter of the law. That's a genuine concern. I'm thankful people had that. That's the concern. That's what happens. And you continue in it because it's like you can't turn around. It's a flow. The next day you want more, and the next day you want more, and you go into this passage, and all of a sudden all of these things are coming together. And then they say, you know, I'm glad that you're excited and that you're part of a community. And and everything's going good, but you got to be so careful. This is what happens. He says, if that person does that, we're dealing with stoning. Remember the question, do we stone? And I said, well, the answer is yes. Because that's the answer Paul leaned toward, yes. But it's not the way they did it under the old covenant. Under the new covenant, we should. We got a difficulty with this, though, because we don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. We're a very difficult spot. Thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, verse 10, because he had sought to thrust thee away from Yahweh thou Elohim. So not just for adultery or fornication. He said this is for anybody who even tries to convince you that going after God with everything you got to be careful. Don't get yourself off from the scripture. And you tell them, well, I want the whole scripture. Yeah, but you got to be careful in that Old Testament. It'll get you in bondage. And I can tell you there's truth in that, because if you don't understand the spirit of the law, which Christ embodied and lived out to the fullest, then you won't know how to live as a believer. That's why it takes stuff going on constantly to keep you motivated. You're looking for the next big show. And the church has gone through that. That's what I've seen happen. If you look at church in recent time, just look at it, that's exactly what's happening. And this is just rampant today. It's rampant. There's more apostles and prophets and you name it that are springing up all over because people, and they're only doing it because the appetite's there. Why would you open up a store if there's already 10 stores? If there's 10 stores, And not everybody's going, there's not enough people to go to even 10 stores. That's why the stores are hurting. Why would you open another store? Can I tell you why people are opening another store? If all those stores that are already open are packed, and you're trying to get in and they're out of stuff, you know what you got to do? You got to open another one. And whoever's a businessman, he would open another because the demand's there. Can I tell you why there's so many apostles and prophets and all that stuff springing up? The demand's there. It's what people want. They're hungry for a big thing. They're demanding it. People's demanding it. They're not convincing people to do it. They're demanding it. They're looking at over there and they're packing out. This guy is calling you out and he's reading your mail and he's doing all this stuff. Working in and operating in some spirit. Well, the guy down the road says, well, I'm going to start doing it. And he packs out. Before you know it, it gets contagious and it's happening all over. Deuteronomy 17, I think I read that. I'm only going to read the latter part, so 9:41, I believe I read that. Verse 12 says, and the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken to the priest that standeth to minister there before Yahweh the Elohim unto the judge, even that man shall die, and thou shalt put away evil from Israel. Think about that. And all the people shall hear and fear, and do no more presumptuously. I think that was the last verse that I read on Sunday. Now, I didn't read this part, but I think I should. Deuteronomy 19, verse 16. Did I read that one? I don't think I read that one, but let me go ahead and finish it because that's where I left off. In Deuteronomy, and again, we're talking about putting away evil. We're dealing with the question, stoning. Where does that fit under the spirit of the law? Where does that fit? In Deuteronomy 19, verse 16, if a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him, that which is wrong. That word false there is Hamas. Keep that in mind. Because you're going to need that later on tonight and tomorrow probably. That word false there is Hamas. It's not the same as we continue. It's the beginning. If a false witness, it also could be translated malicious. It could be translated malicious, but it's false there in King James is false. Will rise up against thee and testify wrong. Then both men between whom the controversy is shall stand before Yahweh, before the priests and judges, which shall be in those days, and the judges shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witness be a false witness, that is not Hamas there, or something different. If he be a false witness and had testified falsely, again, the same different word, against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shall thou put the evil away from among you. Notice that terminology. So shall thou put that evil away from among you. What was his evil? A false witness. Because he thought, I'm going to bring it up against my brother. But he found out that it wasn't even true what he said. What do? You put that one away. Notice that. Now watch verse 20. And those which remain shall do what? Hear and fear. If you don't put them away, folks won't hear and fear, and they'll do the same thing. Why? How you know they're going to do the same thing? Well, you know what? That's you know, you're jumping the gun. How you know? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. That's how I know. Because if you got away with it, and I see that you're doing okay, and nobody's on you about it, when I'm under the attack of the enemy and I'm feeling those same feelings, I'm going to lean more heavily toward giving in because you didn't have no consequence. I'm not going to have a consequence. There's no more hearing and no more fearing. Is that helping anybody? That's why Paul said, how is it that I hear that you have this immorality going on in Corinthians? He said, that's not even named among the Gentiles that a man will have his father's wife. Now, meaning there, again, I'm going to get into that deep. He uncovered his father's nakedness. Okay, and I want you to keep that in mind. How many remember Reuben? Reuben took Bilhah. That was the concubine. He went off, he took her. What did he do? He uncovered that was his father's concubine. Now it wasn't his mother directly, but it was still his father's wife. The command said your father's wife, not to be your mom. He took his father's wife and he uncovered his nakedness. Well, there was a price paid for that. When it came down to it, Reuben was passed up being the firstborn. It was given to Joseph's sons. I mean, remember that. A lot of people say, you know what happened to Reuben? You can't act like that. When it came time to get the stuff handed out, he didn't get any. See, it was judged. That's what it's called, being judged. But in our society today, you got to walk like this in church. Because if you do something like that, folks get mad. They get upset. And then grandma get upset at you. And the mama get upset at you. And then the kids are upset at you. You understand what I'm saying? I can't believe he said that. And folks get their feelings hurt. And then they'll tell somebody. And they'll get on Facebook. And then they'll send it. And it's a crazy thing. Well, how in the world are you going to teach the scripture if you got to do that? It doesn't make sense. Now listen to me. I could avoid all of this message. I could avoid all of it. Because I got a lot of stuff still to talk about. But I mean, it's the stuff. It wakes you up in the middle of the night and God says, what are you going to do here? Are you going to talk about it or not? What are you going to do? And let me tell you, you think it's popular? Well, no, it's not popular. You think people's hungry for this? Look around. Where's the hunger and the thirst for it? You know what I do when I'm hungry? I go where the food's at. That's what I do. I don't go away from it. When it's time to eat, I know where the food's at. And if I'm hungry, that's where I'm going. You know what I do when I'm thirsty? I go where the water's at. I don't run from the water. I don't go into the desert. I don't go try to find me a good cool drink where there's no water. That's what happens. The world don't have the water we need. He told a woman at the well, he said, if you believe like the scripture says, he said, if you believe, I'll give you living water. But she had to come to a realization that that was the one. He said, I'm he. I'm the one. If you'll believe it. She thought he was talking about something else. He starts talking about living water. She said, I want that water, but you don't have nothing to draw with. But he was talking about something on the inside. And that's what he wants to do for us. How many know that that's what he wants for us? So we're dealing again, the spirit of the law versus the letter of the law. Now, it's still the law, but it operates different. It operates directly, not indirectly. The letter of the law operated indirectly. Wasn't directly. You had to go before the priest, and the priest had to go in for you once a year, Yom Kippur. Now, it operates directly by Holy Spirit. Directly inside of our hearts. How incredible that is. That ought to make folks want to shout that he wants to live in me. And I want to do better because I don't want to give him a house that's always in chaos. I don't want to give him a house that's always in trouble. We've been down that road. Think about that. How many think we got a lot of work to do still yet? This helps me every day. I don't want to give him all the trouble I got. I don't want to have just the talks with him when I'm in trouble. I want to have some, spend that quality time with him, that intimacy with him. How many's ever felt when the veil went back on? That's a tough spot. I mean, you're trying. You're doing everything you can. You can cry. You can do whatever you want. You just don't feel it. But boy, when that veil lifts just a little bit, just a little glimmer of that glory, it moves inside of you and it tears you down. And you weep because you can't even, it's not you no more. You allowing him to come and be God in you. John chapter 6, verse 63 says this: it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. This is what Christ says. He says that the spirit quickeneth. This is the spirit of the law. What does it do? It quickeneth. We don't have to wait. Can you imagine? How many's ever made a mistake? How many made a recent mistake? How many think about it? You had to carry that recent mistake all year long until Yom Kippur. Every day is on your mind. That'd be terrible. But the spirit quickeneth. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It's something that can happen. He's right now, you can get it right. If you make a mistake, you have an advocate with the Father. He's faithful and just to forgive you. Right now, you can get it right. Isn't that amazing? It's absolutely incredible. Matthew chapter 5. So we're going to look at this a little different. We're dealing again with the spirit of the law. We're going to deal with this a little different. Matthew's account. Matthew chapter 5. We know he's dealing with the blessings, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. He's on the mountain. It's the Sermon on the Mount. But I want to tell you what Yeshua does here. What he does is he starts to unfold the commentary. Now this is Yeshua's. How many's ever read a commentary? How many's ever read Matthew Henry commentary? That's a pretty popular one. That's the big, thick one. Matthew Henry, and it goes on the list. You got Clark's, you got John Gill's, you got all these guys. You go down the list, it's all their commentaries, right? I'm going to give you tonight Yeshua's commentary on some of the law. Would that be all right? Because that's exactly what this is, his commentary. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 says this, think not. When he says think not, you know what I believe, huh? Think not. Don't even think of it. Think not that I am come to destroy the law. Now notice this disclaimer here right up front. Because he's going to say some stuff that's going to be crazy to a lot of hearers. And he got an audience here. He's got this audience. He's on the mountain. He's like in this amphitheater sort of setting. He's on this side and people are sitting all over and they're listening. And he says, think not that I'm come to destroy the law. When you hear that, get ready, because something is about to come out of his mouth that you're going to have a tough time with. Because they're going to do what automatically? What are they going to think? If he says, think not, what are they going to think? That he come to destroy the law. That's exactly what they're going to think. Well, how many know most of the Christian world today didn't listen to that first little clause there? Think about this. They didn't hear that one little part right there. That's why I highlighted it different so we can see it. Think not. You're going to think it, but I'm telling you, don't think that way. You're going to feel that way, but don't feel that way. You're going to do it. We just disregarded that whole part. Remember I studied the words of Jesus? I've been going back over them things. Let me tell you, we got to do that whole thing again. We ain't even come close. Not even close. Think not. And that, for example, is that. When I did the word of Jesus, I did this passage, I didn't focus on think not. We need to focus on that. Because that's the first thing he says there in this passage. Says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. Let me see that. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now they take that passage right there, that last statement, and say, it's over. He fulfilled it. He just got finished telling you, don't think that way, but to fulfill. Okay, now he's going to go on. For verily I say unto you, till, notice this. This is a heavy, 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 because he knows he's going to get, he knows what's coming. People's mind are going to run away, and they're going to take his words out of context. They're going to just go on with them. He said, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. I don't know about you, but that's a heavy disclaimer right there. I know you're going to go there. I know you're going to say it's over, but I'm going to just tell you up front. Till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Well, people say, well, I believe that. When he died on the cross, he fulfilled it all. That ain't what he said. That ain't what he said. He didn't say, until I die on the cross. I'm going to read it again. He said, till heaven and earth pass. Now, he talks about the passing of the heaven and earth in Matthew 24. Right? He talks about of that day. Nobody knows. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, all that kind of stuff, that just goes, woo. Then he returns. And I wanted to put all that in here. I did, but there's a spot I gotta shuffle and deal. How many still here? Verse 19, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. What things? He's talking about. Are we still in the context here? We're talking about the law. Think about that. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. That's clear. Verse 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old. Now what is he referring to? The old covenant. Them of old. It was said by them of old. Thou shall not kill. Where does that directly come from? That comes from the commandments. Written on the tables of stone. Right? Thou shalt not. This is Master Yeshua. Think about that. Thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. I like this phrase. But I say unto you. Who's doing the fulfilling of Torah here? The Master. But I say unto you. That whosoever is angry, how many see that word underlined? Angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. What is that? That's the spirit of Torah. Spirit of Torah. So under the letter of the law, the only way you could be judged for killing or murder is to be caught. So you kill somebody. And somebody saw you. Matter of fact, two guys were there. They said, what is he doing? What is he doing? Did you see him? He just hit the guy in the head. Found out 2 days later that guy that they saw was dead. And people was wondering, well, who done it? Well, these two guys come forward. And they said, well, man, we saw this fellow. We were sitting there. We was like, what are they doing? They were arguing. Just cussing back and forth, and all of a sudden he picked up something and hit him, and he took off running. Well, what guy was it? Was that guy right there? They would take that guy right there and kill him. That's what the letter of the law said. The spirit of the law says this. If you're angry with your brother, now it goes on and says this. Let me show you. It says without a cause. That's bracketed. That's bracketed. It may not be bracketed in your version, but it's bracketed for a reason. It's not in the text. It's to help understand the verse. But it doesn't say without a cause in the text. It was put there to just kind of help us. It says, whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of judgment. I know without a cause means if you have a cause, it's okay. You understand that point? That's not what the text says. I'm just here to tell you what text says. Whoever is angry with his brother is in danger of judgment. Whoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. Now, that word Raka in English terms would be you idiot. You idiot. empty-headed. That's basically what, if you English define rock, it's you empty-headed, you idiot. Shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of Gehenna fire. Now, I want you to keep this in mind because I want to point this out to you how important this is. If you get angry enough at somebody and you dwell on anger, according to the spirit of the Torah, their anger with them, you wrote them off already. They're done. I got no use for him. Well, you can't sit in here and not have no use for somebody. So I ain't done it. So if I ain't nobody, you know, I ain't actually committed to act. You're not under that no more. The spirit of Torah says you have because it happened here. You see the difference? Do you see the difference? If it's happened in your heart, you already wrote him off. You wanted to pick a stick up and beat him in the head with it, and you'd have felt good about it. And then you say hallelujah in the next service. You understand? That's a real problem. Well, the spirit of the law won't allow that. And so, folk going around talking about, well, I'm mad. I'm just mad. I got no use for them. And they let that, and they festers, and it festers, and it festers. Well, the whole time it's festering and you doing that, I want you to ask yourself, where do you think God is in this? Is he staying there? Is he propped up with his feet on the couch, living in your living room, hanging out with you with that type of attitude? Do you really believe that? The spirit of the law says that's not so. Not so. And if a person's just constantly feeling that, and they telling you, you got to say this, hey, brother, let me just tell you, you can't be angry with your brother because the word of God says this. And if you keep acting that way, I can't hang out with you. You put evil away from you. Because if you hanging out, and y'all laughing and joking, and you know how it feels. You signed up for them same feelings. You say, well, it wasn't me. It ain't about the act. It's about in the heart. That's the spirit of the law. I mean, see the difference. Is it a different law? No. He's just showing you if you really want to think about it. And this is Yeshua. This is the master. This is the master. He says, if you do that, you're guilty of it. Wow. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, whosoever hated his brother is a... This is not my comment. Am I reading scripture still? Am I giving you the word of God? Now, we can read 1 John and breeze over that, and it don't really do anything for us, but if I take it in context and I use it and reference it from the way we just read from, that makes a lot of sense, don't it? Whosoever hated his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer had eternal life abiding in him. Because remember where eternal life's got to abide, in you. It's not some outside influence that's going to come and kind of beam you up, Scotty. Like everybody believes, waiting for the day they get beamed up. The only way you're going to walk in the kingdom, the only way, and you shall be changed, the only way that the grave's got to loose you is because in you abides eternal life. In you. And if you hate your brother, eternal life does not abide in you. Well, I just don't know what they did to me. Hey, I may never know. And maybe it's going to be hard for you to explain it to me. But are you going to let what they did separate you from eternal life? Weigh it out. Which one means more to you? And if eternal life means more to you, let that go. It's not worth it. Why get yourself overwhelmed with it? Oh, boy. Matthew 5, 27 to 28. I'm giving you commentary. We'll skip down a little bit. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old times. And he's still on track here. This is the master now. Yeshua HaMashiach. Thou shalt not commit adultery. How many see that? But I say unto you, spirit of the law. Did it change? It's the same law, but its operation's different. Do you understand that? What did we do to the guy who murdered? They drug him out and stoned him. That's what they did him. But I'm telling you, you got to put that out of you. Who judges you rightly first? Not your pastor. You. You're the one who judges yourself rightly first. You either going to let you get by with it, or you're going to say, that's not going to work. You can't have prayer time in that feeling. They don't work. They don't mix. And if you push through and say, I'm going to do it anyway, you're going to get a spirit. Believe me, you are going to get a spirit, but it won't be Holy Spirit. How many understand that? And that spirit will come, and it'll make you think it's Holy Spirit. You'll speak in tongues, and you do all these things. I see it over, and I was showing my wife in the last few days as I was going through these studies and looking at it. I was showing her, this is the craziness that's going on in our world today. God get up and speak in tongues, and the whole time he's got several women that he's sleeping with on a weekly basis. He's traveling all over, speaking in big churches and popular. Got a big following. His Twitter account's blowing up, and his followers, it's all a game. But let me make no mistake about it, in his heart, there has to be eternal life. So you're going to get a spirit. If you keep pushing and pushing and still going at it and say, I'm going to serve God. I'm just going to serve him. But I'll never get rid of this. This is the way I feel. And I'm telling you, you'll have, and that's, you're going. You're going to get a spirit. Let's deal with this one. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's pretty simple. But I say to you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now let me give a disclaimer here so nobody takes my words wrong. He's not talking about every thought you have. I mean, you know, you're going to have thoughts. They're going to come. But if you entertain the thought, that's a problem. You're going to have thoughts. You're living in the real world. You got eyeballs. It's going to come. It's going to happen. Yeah, I don't care. You don't even have to be looking for it. It's going to happen. It's just going to pop up. But what you do with that is you. It's your business. He says to look on a woman to lust after her. Hath committed adultery in his heart already. Well, that's a difference than the letter of the law. He had to be caught in the act. The woman was brought before a Messiah. Caught in the very act. Act of adultery. The law says. What did they tell him? The law of Moses says we should stone her. The spirit of the law says this. I'm all for that. How do we know he's all for that? Because he tells us something after. Go and do what? Don't do that again. He said, I understand what you're saying, but listen, 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 everybody. If we're going to do that, we're going to deal with everybody here in the church. Oh, boy. That's a tough spot, ain't it? Make no mistake about it. Listen to me careful. I may never come to you personally, and I will if God says, but I come to you every service, and I give you the scripture. Don't ever say, Pastor didn't tell me I shouldn't. Because here it is. If you want to do something with it, you can. But I'm telling this to everybody. But if it gets you a little tight with you, whereas you get real tight in the seat, that's because you didn't follow what God wanted. It gets a little tight. Somebody said, "Well, man, I know when he was preaching, he was directing it to me." Really? I'm directing it to everybody here. If it gets tight for you, it just got tight for you. I can't help that. But I'm not talking to one person. I'm not here speaking to one person. I'm speaking to everybody that's here, who listens to this, who goes on that line and listens. I'm speaking because God wants us right and ready for when He returns. Look at 1 Corinthians. We'll talk about that because we've got to deal with this. I give this disclaimer. I'm going to deal with it scripturally. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Messiah, who in present am abased among you, but being absent am bold towards you." Notice his words. "But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with you, that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh." Now he's just laying it out. "For though we walk in the flesh," notice what he says, "for though we walk in the flesh," and that's everybody here. That's not some of us, that's everybody. "Though we walk in the flesh," that's what happens. You get up every day and you're dealing with you. I'm dealing with me, you're dealing with you. "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." We do not war after the flesh. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through Elohim to the pulling down of strongholds." And that's what the enemy wants. He wants to have a stronghold and he wants to keep it. Now watch what he says. This is the highlight. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Elohim." What do? You're going to have thoughts. It's not a thought that gets you in trouble. It's not the fact that you saw something going to get you in trouble. But it's what you do with that. He said, "Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Messiah." How many see that? What do? Bring the thought into obedience. That's the problem. We lack the obedience of capturing that and saying, "I will submit to Messiah rather than submit to my own desire." Wow. What is he dealing with? Again, we're dealing with the fact that if you look upon a woman under the spirit of the law and lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart already. Already done. What does the letter of the law say? You got to be caught in the act. If you're not caught, who knows? So people today can sit in the church and commit adultery but not be caught and feel okay. It's only a matter of time. If you play the role out, you're only going to act it out at some point in life. You can't play it over and play it over and fantasize and play it over and play it over. A man who fantasizes after somebody else's wife and he keeps doing it, he's going to get after somebody's wife. That's just the way it is because he's entertained that. What do we do? The thought comes, what do? You bring it under captivity to the obedience of Messiah. You say, "I'm not going to do that." Messiah tells us not to do it. We're not going to do it. Bringing unto captivity every thought to the obedience of Messiah, and having in the readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Amen? How many see that? So I just put that out there so we can see it. I wanted you to see that because it's important. Again, what we're dealing with there? Dealing with the adultery. He said, "But I say to you," let's go on, Matthew 5, 31 and 32. "It has been said." It has been said. What is he talking about? What's that reference? It has been said. Talking about of old, under the old law, covenant. "Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement." Let me see that. Verse 32. "But I say unto you," it has been said, But I say unto you. That's the difference between what's been said and what he says. That's the spirit of the law. That's what we're under. Did the law change? The law is not different. Its operation's different. Do you understand that? Its operation is clearly different. And there's things under the old covenant that we have no need to be fooling with today. Like, who thinks if you go kill a lamb on Passover that somehow that gets you better with God? Yet, there's some in the Hebrew Roots movement are going back to that. Listen, I'm going to just tell them, y'all bear with me. Oh, you're crazy. That's what Paul said. You don't need to be circumcised. That's what we did this whole thing in Galatians. He said, who have bewitched you that you should leave what I taught you, what was taught to you? And that's what's happening. People are being bewitched. Take some time to look at that. They're being taken over by another spirit. All in the name of Christ. Don't forget that. I've witnessed this where people prophesy, speak in tongues, and say in the name of Jesus, and they're living like hell. Caught doing it. One prophet sleeping with another man's wife and gave her a STD. This is all documented stuff, like posted. Health paperwork posted. It's all new stuff coming out. And preaching all in these churches, well-known churches, today in 2018. Prophesying, speaking in tongues, in the name of Jesus, signs and wonders, and sleeping with another man's wife. According to Torah, that doesn't work. And you ought to be well keen in the scripture to pick that out and see it. Because if you're gonna do all that, how you test it. That's how you test everything. Well, how you acting with your wife? Well, we divorced. Are you paying for your children? No, we still in court on that. Well, who are you with now? Well, I'm with her. Well, who's she? Well, she's his wife. You see how that don't work in God. You're not operating in the spirit of Torah. You got your own operation going on. Something's wrong with that. And somebody needs to say, you know what? That's not how it works. Doesn't work that way. We shouldn't act that way. How many see that? But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife saving for the cause of fornication. That's the word where we get porneia from. That word, it's interpreted fornication. It's a good interpretation. Causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her, that is divorced, commits adultery. Notice that. Now he's dealing with these things. He's giving commentary on the Torah because he's dealing with the Torah. He's looking at the commands here. The Ten Commandments, he's looking at them, and he's elaborating on those things. Now, Matthew 19, verse number 3, we'll start there, and then we'll go through this. I'm going to see how far we could get in this, because it don't take long. You run out of time here on Saturday. Matthew 19, 3 says this, and the Pharisees also came to him, tempting him, saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Or for any cause. Now, there's a reason they're asking this. Because in the Mishnah, certain rabbis, Rabbi Shemaiah and Hillel, were saying different things to the Jews that this is that time. And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read? What is he referencing there? If he says, have you not read? What is he referencing? He's referencing the Torah. That he which made them at the beginning made them male and female. Now we're getting into some serious commentary. This is serious stuff. I'm telling you, if you hear and you honestly want to grow in God, and you want to walk out what God's purpose for your life is, not just be saved. I'm glad I'm not a sinner no more. I go to church now and I'm just, man, I finally can get a breath. Well, that, thank God for that. Now what do you want to do? Do you want to grow in God? Do you want to be what God wants you to be? You might be sitting here and you ought to be in the ministry. You ought to be on the mission. I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, you want to be that. Maybe you've been in church a long time and you say, I still don't have a breakthrough financially. There's a reason for that. We're going to break that stuff off. How many want that broken off? Well, there's reasons for that. There's strongholds. We've got to come against those things. It could be just simple things, just simple things. We don't want, Lord, we want to go back in our life and say, you know what, God? I was crazy in this day and I repent of that. And those things will just come off. So he's going into this a little deeper. Verse 5, and he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. How many see that? And they twain shall be one flesh. They twain shall be one flesh. Aha. They twain shall be one flesh. That's from the beginning. Have you not heard? Have you not read? That he which made them, made them. He which made them. Who is Yeshua referring to? He's referring to his Father, Yahweh, the Most High God. He which made them male and female. He said, why does that matter? Because that same porneia, that same word there, that Greek word, the fornication, it goes into all sorts of sexual immorality. Same word we have in Corinthians. How is it we hear that there's immorality, sexual immorality, that has never been heard of even among the Gentiles? This thing's crazy. It goes into all sorts of things. It's where the church has been captivated by it. And that's why we have all this nonsense going on in the church. Pastor just comes up. He's been in the church all these years, and he comes up and says, you know what? The Lord told me. The Lord told me that this is not going to be my wife no more. That didn't just happen. She ain't your wife for a reason no more. Because you've been secretly doing something on the side for a long, long time with somebody else. And now you got this revelation, this quote, spiritual revelation, this prophetic word that you gave yourself. Thus said the Lord on you. That is craziness. And here's the problem. People still lining up, giving their money to that type of craziness. Lined up doing it. It's absolute nonsense. You know why they keep doing it and getting away with it? There's no consequence. They're not being turned over, delivered over to Satan. There's no more hearing and no more fearing. And if you're popular by doing that, your following goes up, you become a superstar overnight because you got a scandal. How many of you know that's what happens in Hollywood and everywhere else? All you got to do is have a scandal and you can be popular. And they'll forgive you for your scandal, and you're the best thing that's ever happened after that. Forget the fact that you did something terribly wrong. No more hearing and no more fearing. You see the difference? It happens in the church. Folks act the way they want. They don't have to worry about anything because so-and-so will call them in and come do their conference. They'll come in and do their conference. I don't know how you could be a prophet, been married 2 or 3 times, and the guy you're with now, you can't be a prophetess if they've been married that many times and the one you're with now is not your husband. That ain't what he told the woman at the well. Right? He said, I'm going to tell you, the one you're with's not yours now. What did he do? He exposed it. What's happening in the church world today? Nothing. Hush. Hush. We want her. We want him. We don't care what they've done. They are good. They bring a lot of people. They bring a big following. Did you see their Twitter account? Did you see their Facebook account? You see how many people follow them on YouTube? We want them. We don't care what they did. We want them because thousands will come, and that's more money. Do you see what it's been traded for? That's what it's been traded for. Christ deals with it differently. He said, twain shall be one. Therefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore Elohim has joined together, let not man put asunder. Now, I'm going to tell you, that part right there, I highlighted it for a reason. You better remember that statement, because that's an important statement. Because what therefore Elohim had joined together. Let me just tell you something about marriage. I don't care who did it for you. Could have been the preacher, the bishop, the pope, or the justice of the peace. If you said before God, you let God keep that thing. What God had joined together, let not man put asunder. You understand that? Well, that's a tough spot, ain't it? Now, is there provision for it? Well, there is provision. We'll go into that a little bit. There is provision. But before we do that, we're going to deal with this part. What God therefore had joined together, let not man put asunder. And I'm going to have to do it in the morning. We're going to be in Malachi chapter 2. So if I start this, there's no way I'm stopping, and there ain't no way I'm finishing it tonight. Because I've got the whole chapter of Malachi. We're going to look at that. All right? So how many follow me so far with this? Keep that in mind. What you're going to remember tonight? What God therefore had joined together, let not man put asunder. God's done that. That's why Christ is dealing with this. He said, haven't you heard from the beginning? This whole bill of divorcement, that's only because you wouldn't listen. It was never God's intention to ever have that happen. That's a terrible thing in the world. Divorce is a terrible thing. But it was never God's intention. But what happens is, if you read the Torah and you want to read it and put your little twist on it, you'll feel like, well, God, yeah, he just put that in there for us. He didn't put that. He put that because we wouldn't listen. Christ says, have you heard from the beginning that him that made them male and female. That's what he's saying. And he said, therefore, and he said, for this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the twain becomes one. The only reason divorce ever comes, and Christ, and he knew this, is when the one becomes twain again. If you've experienced that in your own life, you know what I'm talking about is true. It's subtle, though, over a period of time. There's a distance, there's a gap, there's a lack. And the whole time, that's the only possible way that can happen is in one of the parties. It could happen in both parties, but most of the time it's in one. They didn't deal with that. And that spirit moves in. And they get an appetite. They start entertaining that appetite. I wonder what it'd be like just to have me. If it's a woman, she might say, I wonder what it'd be like just to have me another man. I wonder how that would feel. Just a thought. She might think about it over a morning coffee or something. And then the man, he might think about it. He might be driving and see a pretty woman on the highway. And he goes, man, I wonder how that would be. Just to have that woman. What do you do right there? As believers, cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring unto captivity the thoughts to the obedience of Messiah. I know what Messiah says. That's not a good thought for me. And it ends right there. And guess what? That just was a thought that came to your mind, and there'll be many of them. There's thoughts in your mind right now saying, okay, dismissed. Stuff like that. I'm going to tell you, bring that thing into captivity. Because I will open up that thing, go to Malachi. And you can go, I'll preach by myself. And you have to listen to the tape. But how many understand that's how it works? But if you